Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a new series. We're talking about hell. And if you haven't noticed, my voice is like 20 octaves lower. I originally thought this had something to do with my heathenism, staying up late on New Year's Eve with my two daughters and playing, I'm such a heathen, playing Mario Brothers. Well, it wasn't that. Actually, very soon after that, I developed a horrible cold, and so now my voice is 20 octaves lower. So I'm like, hey. Anyway, having said that, whatever the case, we're talking about hell today. And there are over 162 different references to hell in the New Testament. So apparently, this is an important subject to God, and I think it should be important to us as well. So, what is hell? There are so many different theories. As we've talked about, we just finished that series on soul sleep and the Jehovah's Witnesses version or view of the afterlife. Well, now we're talking about hell, okay? Now that we've thoroughly refuted the idea of annihilation, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, first of all, they believe that when you die, your soul sleeps. So you actually cease to exist at that point. There is no conscious part of you that survives death. And so you just cease to exist. And then they believe that at that time of resurrection, everybody is resurrected, and then everybody is judged. Some, 144,000 of them, get to go to heaven. Woohoo. Good luck with that. And then those who are deemed to be good ones, the good people, the followers of Jehovah's God, and this is according to the Watchtower, Jehovah's Witnesses, they get to spend eternity on earth, and that's paradise. Woohoo. And then the bad ones, what the Bible refers to as hell and flames of torment and this eternal punishment where the flame dieth not, the worm dieth not and the flames are never extinguished. That is just referring to this moment when God just poof, he annihilates you. He destroys you from existence. You just stop existing, period. No soul, no afterlife, nothing. You're done. Lights out. That's it. Is that what it is? Other people believe that hell is a state of punishment and correction in the afterlife, but it's not eternal. They believe that somehow, perhaps, God is going to spring you out of there after a given time. As much as I would love to believe that, I don't know. Well, actually, I do know. We'll get to that. Some people like to argue, would a loving God send people to hell for all of eternity to be there in eternal punishment? We're going to talk about that. What's up with that? You got people like universalists, and we'll talk about universalism eventually. We'll brush on it a little bit in this series, but I'll eventually do a whole series on them. They're an interesting philosophy and an interesting belief system, interesting enough to do a series about. And this is strange. They believe that hell is a pagan concept, all right? A pagan concept that didn't come about until many centuries after Jesus. And they pretty much place all that blame on the Catholic Church. I was looking at different various websites in universalism, and they talked about the Latin Vulgate. They talked about Clement of Alexandria, Origen, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa. They talk about all these different church fathers, and talk about how the original church fathers didn't believe in hell, and then it was later on when the Latin Vulgate was written, I believe by Jerome. Don't quote me on that. I'm going from memory here. That's never good. But they believe that the Latin Vulgate, this Latin manuscript of the New Testament, that's where hell was introduced to the Bible, and that it wasn't actually originally there. And then they say that all the newer versions of the Bible coming forward from that point forward started putting in this concept of hell. But really it comes from pagan beliefs. And then they switch over and start talking about the King James Version and how the King James has hell in it. But then they say, even though the King James uses the right manuscripts, it also had the Apocrypha in it. Therefore, the King James was utterly corrupted by the Catholic Church as well, and they strike that out. So rather than deal with the fact that the King James didn't use the Latin Vulgate, but clearly has hell taught throughout its pages 162 times, they go ahead and discount it completely because it included the Apocrypha in its original publication in 1611, or original, you know, when it was originally put together in 1611. Oh, okay, the King James did have the Apocrypha in it. It was also made very clear that the Apocrypha was not scripture, but that it was interesting historical reading. But whatever the case, I do have some podcasts on the Apocrypha if you guys want to know what that is. It's basically several books that the Catholics like to include in the Bible as scripture. It's not scripture. Okay, most of it's not even historically reliable. The only book in the Apocrypha that I would call historically reliable would be the book, the first book of Maccabees. And by the way, guys, that is a cool read. That is very fascinating, very interesting. I highly suggest that you read first Maccabees. Second Maccabees, not so much. That is a train wreck of Catholic doctrine. But First Maccabees is very fascinating, really cool, and very much historically accurate. So I do suggest that. Am I calling First Maccabees scripture? No, no way. I'm just saying it's a cool historical writing. So anyway, talking about different versions of what hell is. What is hell? All right, we're going to talk about where is hell? Is it conscious? What kind of place is hell? I mean, what's it like there? We're going to talk about, is it eternal? We're going to be answering all these different questions and the different words that are used for hell in the New and Old Testament. What's up with that? There's clearly different words, and they're also used in different contexts. And so people conclude things like, hell is just the grave. It's a pit. What about, what's the abyss? And then, for some of you, there's this one time in the New Testament where it talks about, it mentions hell, but the Greek word is Tartarus. What is that? Okay, so we're going to look at all this stuff. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's look at the different words that are used for hell in the Bible. So starting in the Old Testament, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they grab a hold of this one and run with it. Sheol. Sheol is one of the words that's mainly used in the Old Testament. Okay, and it can refer to grave. All right, it's in some contexts, it is very clear that it's the grave. In other contexts, and we'll talk about it, we're going to look at a ton of scripture over the next few days, a ton. We're going to clearly show contextually that it doesn't always mean the grave. Just like in English, we have some words that can be used in several different contexts to mean different things. Okay, well, likewise in Hebrew and in Greek. So Sheol can be used for grave. It can also be a holding place for souls, an actual holding place for conscious beings whose bodies have died. All right? Now, the Bible, a lot of times, will translate this, Sheol, as hell. What's up with that? We're going to talk about that. Sometimes it's used to refer to Sheol's used to refer to a pit, sometimes a bottomless pit. We'll talk about some instances like that too. But the interesting thing is Sheol is used to refer to this holding place where both the good, God-honoring, God-following, sacrificing Jews of the Old Testament, they went to the same place. And then you have all these wicked people being thrown in the same place as well. What's up with that? Then in the New Testament, we have this place called Hades. Hades is another one of, now we're talking Greek now, not Hebrew. Hades is a Greek word that is translated hell many times in the New Testament. Well, Hades is very similar to the concept of Sheol in the Old Testament. It's a place where the souls, the conscious surviving souls of people go after they die. And there's clearly a division that happens in Hades. There is a place for those who are embracing and believing in the God of the Jews, and they're looking forward to the Jews' Messiah. And we're going to look at scriptures on that. And then there's a place where the bad people go, where those who, well, pre-Christ rejected God and rejected their God, the Jews' God. But then post-Christ, you have this same place being a holding place for those who have rejected Christ. And that's where they end up. But they end up in this compartment of Hades that is not very good, okay? It is not a place of rest. It's not a place of comfort. But then there's this other compartment of Hades that's referred to as paradise, okay? It's also referred to as Abraham's bosom. And that is where the God-honoring, Christ-following believers go. And that's interesting, too. We're going to get to that. But there's another word that's often translated hell. And this is Gehenna. And Gehenna is referring to the Valley of Gehenna. It's where the Jews would take all of their trash, all their refuse, and they would burn it. And so it was this valley where pretty much worms were crawling all over the place. The worm dieth not. And the flames, constant flames, things were burning. And this same valley is oftentimes referred to as Topheth as well. And so, yeah, it's also a place where a lot of kings performed human sacrifices. All right, so there's a strange history to this place, a place of sacrifice, of burning of trash, burning of refuse. There was constantly worms crawling in and out of stuff in different corners, and then you had flames that just never seemed to stop. Always flames. Yikes. Okay, so you have a pretty good picture of hell right there. So how does this all fit together? How do you make this all work? You've got words like Sheol being used for hell. You've got New Testament Hades. And then you have Gehenna. How does this all fit together? Well, like I mentioned earlier, Sheol is this place, and this is a real place, that all dead spirits, all the people that die, their spirits go to a holding place. All right? And in this holding place, there's a place of rest and comfort that's referred to as paradise, and then there's a place of extreme discomfort. And we're going to talk about exactly what that discomfort was like. I think you guys already know, but we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures to back it up, because you know what? There's a lot of people that argue about this. And so let's go ahead and we're going to nail this down. All right. And so going forward into the New Testament, you have, rather than Sheol being used, you have the word Hades, but it's the same thing. It's this place where the souls are held, and there's a place of rest and comfort and awesomeness, a place that's also referred to as Abraham's bosom in paradise. And then you've got this place of extreme discomfort, torment. Now, moving forward, and of course, many times this, when you hear Gehenna, it's talking about just the compartment in Hades, or Sheol, whatever word you want to use, that is extreme discomfort. We're talking about the worms aren't dying and the fire ain't going out. Okay? And then you have this place, paradise. And that's probably a good place to stop. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you. I'm sure I'm going to get some comments on this one, or at least over the next few days. Maybe not today, but in the next few days as we continue to explore the reality of hell. Like, what does the Bible actually say about hell? Not what you want the Bible to say or what you want to believe, but what does it actually say? I'm sure I'm going to get some comments, but that's okay. Be that as it may, let the truth stand. May God be true and every man a liar. So with that, you guys can catch me on Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.